You are listening to the Ivy Podcast. Learn from the thought leaders in areas of strategy, innovation, negotiation, and all things leadership. We interview the Ivy League, Fortune 100, and top startups. Now, here's your host, John Karsibayev.
On this episode, I welcome Doug Sauter, who is in charge of digital product management and analytics for the John Deere Intelligent Solutions Group, where he leads product management and data science teams focused on enabling smarter equipment and better decisions via digital tools and data services. Prior to joining John Deere, Doug led product development teams at Precision Planting that built agricultural equipment solutions, and at the Climate Corporation, where he built digital tools for farmers. Please welcome Doug.
Doug, thanks so much for finding time to talk to us today on the Ivy Podcast. Can you tell us a little bit more about John Deere, something you know that not a lot of people may know about? And what is your role within the organization, and what falls under your purview?
Well, thanks, John. It's great to be with you today. You know, John Deere is a company with a long legacy of innovation in agriculture. That may not be the first word you think of when you think of John Deere, but we've really been using technology to help farmers feed and fuel the world for over 180 years. And that started with a steel plow that opened up the American prairies, and now it involves using cutting-edge technologies, things like computer vision, machine learning, and AI. And our mission is really to help our farmer customers be the world's most profitable and sustainable farmers. And so we're building smart connected equipment and digital tools to help them do that. I'm part of the Intelligent Solutions Group. We're the technology arm at John Deere. And so we make everything from the systems that make self-driving tractors guided by GPS to robotic automation systems to web and mobile applications for farmers. And so my specific role is I lead our digital product management and analytics teams. And so we make digital tools that leverage data and data science to help farmers make better decisions. So if I'm a farmer this morning and I have farm equipment running out in the field, I can, from my smartphone, understand where that equipment is at, how it's working, and analyze the data coming off of it to make better decisions for my farm.
Thank you for that background. You don't usually associate, you know, farming and advanced technology, you know, and, you know, artificial intelligence. So that's very exciting. That, you know, I'm excited to talk about some of the case studies or any practical implementation of such technologies in something like farming. So that's great. As part of that, you know, that Intelligent Solutions Group that you've mentioned, can you tell us a little bit more in terms of any practical, you know, case studies that you guys had, you know, implemented recently when it comes to leveraging of data science and AI to enable that smarter equipment and better decisions through these, you know, digital tools and services?
Sure. You know, one of the things I love about my job is the chance to meet customers that are using these technology solutions today. You know, I still remember meeting Tom. He's a large farmer in Indiana. Happened to meet him during the harvest season. He farms around 10,000 acres. That's a pretty large farm. And his harvesting team operates three combine harvesters, and they'll spend from September to into December harvesting the crop. So it's a marathon. And operating a combine is a pretty technical job. Requires several years of training to get really, really good at it. And the job of the combine operator is really to get as much grain off the field as possible in as short of time as possible, and to do it at the highest possible quality. And to do that, the operator really, in the olden days, had to use his eyes or her eyes, continuously turning around and looking through this little window to visually assess the quality of the grain that was coming into the grain tank. And this is an exhausting job. You have to keep looking at that and making manual adjustments to the machine to really optimize its performance. So imagine doing that 6 days a week, 12 to 16 hours a day. And so what we did was install cameras inside that combine harvesting machine. And those cameras take pictures of the grain that's flowing through the machine. Those pictures are fed through a machine learning algorithm that's been trained on hundreds of thousands of pictures, and it's trained to distinguish good grain versus cracked kernels versus foreign material. And so when that algorithm runs, it sends its output to a control system that automatically makes adjustments to the mechanical settings of the combine. And so what that has allowed to happen is that Tom can now take an unskilled operator, and he told us that an unskilled operator in his first year of driving the combine is now as proficient as those that have been operating for many years. And this is a big deal because there is a real shortage in skilled labor across agriculture, not just in the United States, but globally. And so this is just one example of how AI and robotics can help reduce this need for highly skilled labor and help Tom be more profitable in his farming operation.
Oh, that's very interesting. Thank you for the details on how you guys helped that particular farmer, you know, through the leveraging of some of the advanced technologies. That's very interesting. And in general, you know, artificial intelligence, machine learning, and all other advanced technologies, you know, it's a sexy term. Everybody's talking about it. It's all over the media. And in general, it's reinventing software engineering as a whole. How do you think these trends will impact your industry from the innovation standpoint? And more importantly, what are your thoughts on kind of best strategies to adopt such technologies? Because it's one thing that everyone was talking about, but really understanding your strategy behind it, how to implement it within the organization is a different story. Curious to get your take on that.
Yeah, you're right. It's one thing to talk about it. It's another to implement it. One of the things we're proud of is that we have AI and machine learning solutions in production today. And I do think it's changing software engineering. You know, one of the trends that that we see is the integration of disciplines like data science, data engineering, and really domain knowledge and expertise, that you have to bring those together to really operationalize data science. You know, it's no longer okay that the job of a data scientist cannot be just to write a white paper. It's really to deliver a predictive model that can be productionized at scale in production software. And for that data scientist to be effective, they need data. And that data needs to be structured in a way that data scientists can access it. And so that means they need data pipelines, they need a data environment, and that means they need data engineers that can support the data scientist. And then to productionize that model, to make it fast, to make it scalable and upgradable, again, this requires this tight connection with engineering to implement something that can be supported at scale. And if you want to take a machine learning model and actually have it create value for the customer, that means that there's been a product manager and a UX designer that have thought hard about the use cases and the overall customer experience that is being created and enabled by that machine learning model. And so what I'm really describing is a broadening of what we might think of as the product team, the skill sets and disciplines that are necessary to make a great customer-facing solution. And sometimes, like in our industry, where those solutions, as I've described, are deeply connected into vehicles, that requires coordination with mechanical engineers and vehicle experts. And so these broader teams, being able to bring them together, people that maybe historically didn't talk the same language or didn't even know each other in a large company like ours, we're seeing, you know, radical shifts in the team formations necessary to create these type of solutions. And so, you know, just a couple of practical things that we've done. We have put data science and data engineering under some common leadership, just to make sure that there is not any unnecessary structural barriers that would allow those two disciplines to work together. And we've also made it really clear to our product management and our UX teams about the role of these advanced technologies in the future. You can't be a product manager in 2020 or a UX designer and not be thinking about and learning and investigating how can AI and ML really help create more value for your customers. So those are a couple of the things that go after the team aspect in deploying these technologies.
That's great, Doug, and thank you for those examples. It kind of also, I spent a lot of time talking to executives from various companies, and it kind of falls under the whole digital transformation initiative that a lot of them are undergoing. And, you know, a lot of that really starts with people transformation. And some of the examples that you're giving is also that kind of really understanding the strategy behind this and integrating the right teams behind this, so that these are not kind of silo operating projects within the organization, which I haven't seen too much success when they operate under such matter. So that's very exciting to hear how you guys take on that. To take that a little bit further, what is your take on the kind of the trends that will come out as a result, especially of current times in your space in agriculture tech industry? What are the different trends that you're currently observing or researching that you think will make an impact and you may be looking to implement in the near future?
Yeah, so we believe that the future of agriculture is smart, connected machines and digital tools that will help farmers be more profitable and sustainable. You know, there are significant needs to increase food production in a sustainable way to meet our growing world population. Some of the best estimates are there will need to be a 60 to 70% increase in food production over the next 30 years. And along with that, there's a need to protect the environment as well as meeting the taste of consumers who are increasingly focused on where their food comes from and how it was produced. And so this ability to increase food production in a sustainable way is really the key trend of the future. Now, we think that from a technology perspective, that there are really five key technologies that will drive the future. And those are sensors, data, connectivity, machine learning, and robotics. And those are really the areas that we are investing heavily in and that we believe will continue to deliver breakthrough innovation in agriculture. And that's because the way that we're going to meet the needs of this growing population is by helping farmers be better micromanagers. You know, in the business world, we think of being a micromanager as a bad thing. But in agriculture, it's really the only way to enable this type of dramatic increase in food production. See, each year a farmer could plant several hundred million seeds. And for those of you that garden, I mean, just think for a moment about how do you optimize the output of your garden? You carefully prep the soil. You carefully place each and every seed. You make sure that each plant is watered, is fertilized. If you see any weeds, you pull them out very carefully. And if you see any bugs, you take action as well. And then you carefully harvest each and every fruit and vegetable to maximize your harvest. And that's really what modern farmers are doing too. They're just doing it at scale. Picture a large farmer managing a million gardens. The only way to micromanage and tend for the needs of every plant is to leverage technology. And so maybe one of the best examples of how this works in real life is our technology that we call See and Spray. The way that farming has worked historically is that if there are weeds in my field, I will bring in a big machine that I call a sprayer. It has a boom on it that's 120 feet wide. And as it goes through the field, it goes through the crop and it sprays chemicals we call herbicides on the field to kill the weeds. But that sprayer traditionally has not been smart. It's going to spray chemicals on every square inch of the field, whether or not there are any weeds present. What See and Spray does is that it installs cameras on that sprayer. And those cameras in real time are scanning each and every inch of the field. Those camera images are being sent in real time to onboard computers that run a machine learning algorithm that's been trained with hundreds of thousands of images, so it knows how to distinguish between a weed and the crop that I'm trying to tend to. And then onboard robotic systems that use precise nozzles only spray that chemical on the weed and not the plant. And so this has the potential to reduce herbicide use by up to 80 to 90%. And so this is just one example of how these technologies of sensors and data and machine learning and robotics really come together to make a significant difference in helping a farmer be a better micromanager and tend for the needs of every plant, but doing that in a way that doesn't just benefit the farmer, but really benefits all of us as consumers in this world.
Right, right, absolutely. And those are very interesting insights. And from your standpoint, just curious, when it comes to, you know, the advanced technologies like AI, machine learning, data science, what are some of the most kind of unique skills that are required to be able to succeed in such, you know, space? The reason I'm asking this is because, you know, a good portion of our audience on the podcast are, you know, the recent graduates or the second year MBAs, mostly from Ivy League, and a lot of them are also exploring different career opportunities. So I'm just curious to get your take on some of that advanced tech space in terms of skill requirements and career path from that standpoint.
Sure. Well, clearly there's a lot of need for technical skills in these advanced technologies, but you know, as I highlighted earlier, the change of really how we think about the product team as a cross-functional group of people that really deeply understand customer problems and what the potential possibilities are by applying technology to it. I think that's one of the most exciting things, is that you don't have to be a machine learning engineer to be involved in bringing that technology to bear on customer problems. And so, you know, whether you bring a background in user experience design or my particular discipline of product management, those skills in being able to have customer empathy, to deeply understand and really, as I like to say, fall in love with the customer's problem, and think creatively about how to apply technology to solve those problems. Those are some key skills. And of course, if you're technical, if you're a software engineer, you know, the world of machine learning really drives on data. And so, you know, any experience and skills related to data engineering, statistics, data science, of course, are some really good skills to have in not only today, but certainly even more so in the years to come.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, I can definitely relate to some of the skill sets that you're referring to being in high demand. Mainly as I'm leading the at ProSource IT, that's what we specialize in, a very niche advanced tech skill set, as we're partnering with different companies. And I've seen, you know, emergence of, you know, these requirements through the last couple of years to companies really investing heavily into, you know, the data science, you know, the solutions architecture and those things. So that's very exciting. From your perspective, from your experience in agriculture, what, aside from everything that you had mentioned previously, what other advice would you give to other technology leaders when it comes to adoption of AI? You've given some pretty concrete case studies and examples how you guys do it, but is there anything else that you wish you had done initially as you were embarking on that journey?
You know, I would say two things. First, don't fall in love with AI as a technology. Fall in love with your customers' problems. Of course, AI has tremendous potential. It's a great tool in our toolkit that can solve customer problems, but it's not a silver bullet, and there's some problems that don't need AI to solve it. So, you know, my advice is go deep with your customers, find their pain, find the pain they can't articulate, and then think about how to bring technology to bear on that problem in a way that works for your business. It's easy to get just enamored by the buzzwords, but you can't go wrong if you're deeply solving customer problems in a way that works for your business. And then the second thing I would say is, if you want to use AI and data science, that really starts with data. You know, the machine learning algorithm or the predictive model is really the tip of the iceberg. Most of the challenges that you will face and that we've faced are about, do I have the right data? Did I collect it at the right resolution? Is it clean? How do I get solid data pipelines? Data pipelines are those processes that bring data from their source of collection. Like in our case, many times that's on board a vehicle. How do I bring that data into the cloud and transform it and move it all the way to an analytics environment where machine learning engineers and data scientists can actually work with it more easily? That foundation is what will enable you to create value with that data. And so it's easy to get enamored with the tip of the iceberg, but the foundation of data collection and data engineering and data quality, that's what's going to create a foundation for value creation for the future. So invest there. It's not easy. It's not cheap. Invest there early and get really enamored with data. As we like to say, data is the fuel to creating value for our customers in the future. So those would be my two main points of advice.
I love that advice. And, you know, within the lines of the first item that you had pointed out, not just riding the, you know, the buzzword train, so to say. It's because at the end of the day, it means to an end, and that's really right. Focusing on kind of the customer problems and coming up with solutions to help address those issues while leveraging some of the, you know, these tools. At the end of the day, that should be the right strategy to adopt such, you know, whatever the trend is at the moment. So that's great. Thank you for sharing that. Doug, last but not least, what is one book that you always recommend to others and why is that?
Yeah, the book that I recommend is Inspired. It's by Marty Kagan. The subtitle is How to Create Tech Products That Customers Love. In one sense, this book is a primer of product management for software products. But I really think this book is about empowering teams, those kind of cross-functional teams that we talked about earlier, empowering teams to discover solutions to customer problems in a way that works for the business. It's been impactful in our team to establish a common vocabulary and really a passion for solving customer problems and doing it together across product and UX and engineering and so forth. So I highly recommend it.
That's great. I haven't read it, but I'm definitely going to check it out. And for our listeners, we'll make the title and the author of this book available in the episode notes. Doug, I can't thank you enough for your time. And I know it was a short conversation, but I personally learned quite a bit. And you provided quite a few insightful case studies and examples how you guys leverage some of this advanced technology. So I definitely thank you for that. I look forward to staying in touch, and perhaps we could do another episode in a couple of years and see how much have transpired, have changed during that period.
That sounds great, John. I appreciate the chance to chat with you today.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.